Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to get rid of the Republicans. Their time has come. You know, they are done. They are done. It is time for a third party to rise up.
They're putting their hashtag on going on there and showing how we're making a change on social justice and all this. Look, this has got to stop. And it seems so phony to me.
So obviously that has nothing to do with Islam, right, Jimmy?
No, not at all.
Obviously.
Not at all, dude. It doesn't make any sense to me how that's tied together.
It has nothing to do with the people, Islamic people, at all. Whew, that was a close one. That was close. I was almost on the bandwagon of just saying, hey, I hate all Muslims. Nope, it has nothing to do with it. We need justice for Bat Fleck. We need to get to the bottom of who decided to cast Ben Affleck as Batman. We need congressional hearings, I think, because this is a crime against humanity. It's kind of sort of refreshing to actually have some racism involved here. It's kind of refreshing, you know? It's
stuff things, words.
Damn, God, I hate them. Oh, man.
You are listening to Arms Away with Ryan Hobbs.
All right, hello and welcome, everybody, to episode 67 of Harms His Way with me. I am, of course, your humble drunkard from afar. My name is Ryan Harms. This is my way. And all that, Harms His Way. Blah, blah, awesomeness. Amazing. Only trouble is that I'm totally not prepared to do the show just quite yet. I know it sounds bad. I know. But here, just give me a few minutes. In the meantime, I'll play something that we discussed last week. The Killing Joke animated movie that's coming out. This was Warner Brothers animation sneak peek. Awesomeness, look at it. The audio of it. Watch it if you haven't seen it on YouTube yet or whatever. Check it out. Awesomeness. Just take a listen while I do my last final preparations for the show and whatnot. Yep.
He's been in custody for 2 years.
He'll confess.
He's insane. It's a mistake to think you know what he'll do.
Well, what's interesting about doing the Killing Joke right now, this is like literally the third time we've even mooted the idea of actually doing the Killing Joke.
It was one of these stories that has always sort of been on the table. But again, because the subject matter is so shocking, I think, especially in this day and age, there was always a problem, do we do it or not?
I think some of what helps the Killing Joke is obviously the pedigree of the comic itself, but the pedigree of the people who are working on it. These are the Batman the Animated Series creators.
This is not a comic book. This is not something that guys wearing long johns should be doing. It was really shocking, and to this day it's still shocking. But the effect the comic had on the Joker as a character in mass media, it all kind of started with the Killing Joke.
Batman and Joker are these sort of fractured reflections of each other. They both were born from tragedy. And one went one way and one went the other way.
Obviously, the Joker was the perfect guy to hold up that mirror to Batman. And this is a pretty sophisticated take on that.
All these years, and I don't know who he is any more than he knows who I am.
Are you sure of that?
What do you mean?
I mean, don't underestimate him.
Well, The Killing Joke is probably one of the most famous graphic novels from the 80s. And part of it, you know, is the origin story of the Joker. I had read that Alan Moore had talked about this just being an Elseworld story, but because the story is so riveting and shocking, I think a lot of people took Joker's origins and sort of made it canon.
One of the main thrusts of The Killing Joke is a series of flashbacks that the Joker is remembering about how he actually became the Joker, his literal one bad day.
I find the past such a worrying, anxious place.
Ha 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 ha!
Well, I think, you know, the concept of characters having a bad day, obviously Bruce Wayne had a bad day early on. And the Joker, you know, he makes one bad decision in his life and it affects his entire future.
Memories can be vile, repulsive little brutes. Like children, no?
And I think Joker's point is there's all these ideals that you uphold. There's all these things that you want. There's all these dreams that you imagine. But what happens when it doesn't work out for you? What happens if you have just one bad day?
Any person, any just regular Joe on the street, if they have one bad day, if it's bad enough, they can become as bad as the Joker. Visually, this movie was a real challenge. I mean, it's always a challenge when we're adapting something from a comic that's as famous as this one is.
It's so realistic that it would be a nightmare to animate.
There's some things that work in a comic that don't work as cinema. So you always have to kind of like, you know, try to keep the truth of it or keep the spirit of the comic. For this particular comic, Brian Bolland's artwork is so gorgeous that when you're reading the comic, you can at least kind of go, well, at least I've got pretty pictures to look at while I'm reading this horrible story. It's so beautifully drawn. It's so his draftsmanship is just spectacular. But his art style is a real huge challenge for us.
And I think we kind of came up with a sort of a hybrid style. Because the Bolland style is so realistic and so detailed, we tried to look at maybe something else that sort of felt a little bit like his. So we looked at Imperium, Kevin Nolan's art style, we looked at because we kind of felt like it was a stripped down version enough, but it was animatable.
It's a good approximation of it. Every now and then I'll see a drawing and go, wow, that's a really good Joker drawing. That actually kind of reminds me of Brian Bolland. Or that's a really good Batman drawing that looks like a Brian Bolland drawing. And so we kind of went from Bolland to Kevin Nolan to stripped down even further to animation.
Barbara, take it easy. It's okay.
No, it's not okay.
So I think we kind of came up with a pretty good balance to try to get the Bolland style.
We thought, well, how can we make it a full-length feature? How can we expand the story without kind of just padding it? So the idea that we came up with was to create basically a prequel to the story.
It was smart to come up with the prologue idea, which I think it was really important to show Batgirl in action in this story, just to get a sense of who she was.
The audience gets to spend more time with Barbara Gordon as a person before the events of The Killing Joke. We get to like her more. We get to understand who she is as a character.
She wasn't just somebody's daughter. She was somebody who mattered to Gotham City, and Batman in particular.
Selfish, vile, hateful, garbage!
The Killing Joke is definitely a much more of a pinpoint story between Batman and his most famous antagonist.
The Joker is trying to prove to Batman that there's really not that much that separates them.
I think everybody can relate to a tragedy that has happened in their life, or something in their life that happens that makes them go down a certain path. These are two characters that have gone down extreme paths. They were almost born in a similar way, yet they've chosen two very dark but different paths.
In every version of Batman that's translated to film or animation, the Joker is his constant opposite.
I've always been somebody that was really more interested in sort of the like characterization and what makes this person who they are. Why do they do what they do, and what is the path that they're on? And that's why I love, you know, the story of the heroes. You know, that's why I love superhero stories.
You're not like I am, Barbara. It's still a game for you, still a thrill.
Obviously, it is a big deal to get the Batman the Animated Series cast back together again.
I'm gonna ask you politely, one last time. Where is he?
23 years later, I'm still doing the role, which is pretty amazing.
How dare you?
I'm in this because of you.
Every time I see Batgirl in my schedule, I'm like, oh, that's so fun. I still get excited. I mean, I love what I do, which is why I do it.
I want him brought in. And I want it done by the book.
This is a much darker story than I think the previous films showed. And in this one, Commissioner Gordon goes through quite a bit to get to the end of the story.
Finish the commission, take him where he needs to be, and please, do be careful. After all, he is topping the bill.
Every time I do this part, I let the script tell me what kind of Joker he needs to be.
Mark loves the comic. He, you know, at times when he's been tired of playing the Joker, and you know, he said, oh, I'm not sure I'd ever want to play the Joker again, unless they did the Killing Joke, then I'd come back for the Killing Joke.
If people want to see a really nasty, vile Joker, this is the one.
I'm crazy for it.
I don't know where that voice comes from, deep inside Mark's head, but it's uncanny, and it to an entire generation of people, that's what the Joker sounds like.
Ah, here they are now.
It's a piece of conviction. I mean, it's a story that starts with a point. It's a story that makes its point, and it doesn't shy away from, especially at the time, you know, the comics code limitations.
When we actually got this movie out on the floor this time and got it recorded and design work and storyboarding, it kind of dawned on me that nowadays it might not even get an R rating. We could probably do this movie straight up, be a very faithful adaptation of the comic without toning anything down. We might get a PG-13. We really don't know.
I do think that element of shock value is important when you're dealing with characters like the Joker and Batman. At that time, it was already 40 years that Batman and the Joker have been dancing. And it really did show you how far it could go.
The nature of the story is so unlike a traditional Batman movie.
This well that people draw from, you know, creatively.
It has defined a lot of the Batman and Joker confrontation since then.
It's time to get rid of the Republicans. The time has come. No, they are done. They are done. It is time for a third party to rise up.
They're putting their hashtag on going on there and showing how we're making a change on social justice and all this. Look, this has got to stop. And it seems so phony to me.
So obviously that has nothing to do with Islam, right, Jimmy?
No, not at all.
Not at all, obviously.
Not at all, dude. It doesn't make any sense to me how that's tied together.
Has nothing to do with the people, Islamic people at all. Whew, that was a close one. That was close. I was almost on the bandwagon of just saying, hey, I hate all Muslims. But nope, it has nothing to do with it. We need justice for Batfleck. We need to get to the bottom of who decided to cast Ben Affleck as Batman. We need congressional hearings, I think, because this is a crime against humanity. It's kind of sort of refreshing to actually have some racism involved here. It's kind of refreshing, you know? It's
stuffing's words.
Stuffing's words. Stuffing's words. Stuffing's words. Stuffing's words. Stuffing's words. Stuffing's words. Damn, God. God, I hate him. Oh, man.
You are listening to Marvelous Way with Ryan Hall.
All right, my apologies, everybody. Just craziness. All right, everything's good to go. Awesome. Stuff, things, words. 760-539-3247. Or click the Skype button at the top of the page. If you've got thoughts, comments, or concerns about anything that I'm going to be talking about tonight. I know I totally said that wrong. Kind of weird. But amazing. Stuff and things. Yeah, all right.
Amazing. Just lots and lots to talk about tonight, obviously. But let's kick it off the usual way. Let's get rid of all these Trump topics going around the world. Or, as you may know him, the current Republican frontrunner, whose name shall not be said on this here program, talk show, podcasty, radio show, thing that it is. His name shall not be said here. So, yes, there is lots to talk about, Mr. Trump. Just a lot, hell, just came out today. Now, let's go with today first. Today, I mean, apparently he's giving, like, some big speech, and Fox News is losing their shit over it. Right now, I think, what's going on. I don't know, it might be over by now. Also, or might have come out yesterday, I don't know, whenever. But Mr. Trump revealed his favorite Bible verse for the first time ever. Now look, no, I don't care if a politician is religious or not. I really don't care. But to be so blatantly, obviously not religious, and yet all the time claiming to be religious, it kind of is the reason why Christianity gets this bad rap that it does. Plus, there's all these preachers and all these bigwigs in the evangelical community that have endorsed the current Republican frontrunner, Mr. Trump. And it's just, he's been asked all these different Bible questions throughout this whole process, and yet he's never, ever come up with anything coherent. I mean, he doesn't come up with anything coherent 90% of the time with anything that he says, policy-wise or otherwise, during this whole primary process. But be that as it may, make America great again, everybody. Bring back the FDR-style concentration camps. Sounds like a good America to whatever. But anyways, on the topic of his favorite Bible verse, Mr. Trump said, well, I think many. I mean, when we get into the Bible, I think many, so many. And some people look an eye for an eye. This is literally his quote. You can almost say that. That's not a particularly nice thing, but you know, if you look at what's happening to our country, I mean, when you see what's going on with our country, how people are taking advantage of us, and how they scoff at us, and laugh at us, and they laugh at your face, and they're taking our jobs, they're taking our money, they're taking the health of our country, and we have to be firm and we have to be very strong, and we can learn a lot from the Bible, that I can tell you. So that's Mr. Trump's favorite Bible verse. Oh my God, we are so doomed. We're so Well, I think many. I mean, when we get into the Bible, I think many, so many, and some people, look, an eye for an eye. You can't almost say that. How is he taken remotely seriously? This is the thing that really, really, you know what? No, I'm not doing that rant yet. We'll probably do it later. Mr. Trump also this week, I believe on Tuesday, had a little speech there in Albany, New York, attended by about 20,000 or so. And let's take a listen to the closing moments of this statement, or speech rather. The closing statement, if you will, of this speech. Let's take a listen to it, listen takers.
Because we're going to turn it around and we're going to start winning again. We're going to win so much. We're going to win at every level. We're going to win economically. We're going to win with the economy. We're going to win with military. We're going to win with health care and for our veterans. We're going to win with every single facet. We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more. We're going to win so much. I love you, Albany. Get out and vote. You will be so happy. I love you. Thank you. Thank you.
Meanwhile, as the primary goes on there in New York, Mr. Trump's children will not even be voting for him. This is how well-oiled of a machine this campaign is. They're so well-oiled that his children did not register as Republicans to vote in the New York primary by the deadline, which was, I think, October. I faced a similar thing here in Colorado back in 2008, but that's neither here nor there. I still attended the caucus, just throwing that out there. I mean, in 2008, I wasn't anywhere near as politically aware as I am today. I have no idea who I would have possibly voted for back then. But anyway, be that as it may, blah, 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 stuff, things, words.
Because we're going to turn it around and we're going to start winning again. We're going to win so much. We're going to win at every level. We're going to win economically. We're going to win with the economy. We're going to win with military. We're going to win with health care and for our veterans. We're going to win with every single facet. We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more. We're going to win so much. I love you, Albany. Get out and vote. You will be so happy. I love you. Thank you. Thank you.
Also in Trump news, Corey Lewandowski, the investigation or whatever, the charges have been dropped in the whole Michelle Fields debacle. He will no longer be facing any sort of charges against Michelle Fields' lawness. Now look, was Michelle Fields beaten to death? No, but legally it is battery. He grabbed her so hard that it caused bruises on her arm. I'm sorry, that legally is battery. I've talked about this whole situation so much, I think just a couple of weeks ago, when I talked about Trump's war on women. Whatever. state of Florida is being all stupid about it, and that's fine. It's cool. The Corey Lewandowski had absolutely no business doing what he did. And to furthermore, apparently there will be a civil suit coming. Furthermore, you know, after the whole debacle, the cover-up was worse than the whole thing. You know, calling Michelle Field delusional. Everything else. Man, I'm so done with this already. I'm so done with this guy. I don't understand how America could be this stupid. But at the same time, I can. Look who America voted for president twice in a row. Hell, Bernie Sanders is almost the popular favorite to win presidency. Good God, man. How are we this stupid? How are we this stupid? Also in Trump news, he has been bitching, complaining, moaning that the Colorado delegates were stolen from him. The situation was rigged. Now look, Cory Gardner, the newly elected senator from here in Colorado, whom we all know.
Cory Gardner banned birth control.
Well, we all know that. Cory Gardner banned birth control. He had something to say about Mr. Trump's little attacks on Colorado and how the system is rigged and everything else. Let's take a listen to Cory Gardner on, what's it, Greta Van Susteren, On the Record, yes. On the Record, Fox News, blah. Listen. Cory Gardner, who banned birth control.
Well, look, this is a grassroots process. This has been in effect for about 100 years in Colorado. Donald Trump has known the rules since last August. He decided not to show up. Elections are won by those who show up, and Ted Cruz showed up. Donald Trump goes into meltdown when he doesn't get his way. In this case, he lost 34 delegates that he could have won had he participated in the process, had he had an organization. Look, Colorado is not taken by celebrity or flash. It's taken by workhorses, and Ted Cruz proved to be the workhorse that won these delegates, 34 of them. I was on the floor of the convention the entire day, talked to hundreds of supporters, delegates, talked to dozens of Trump supporters, dozens of Kasich and Cruz supporters. Not one of them complained about the process to me. In fact, Donald Trump's own surrogate didn't complain about the process until they lost all 34 because they didn't do the work. But Ted Cruz was the only one who showed up in person, and there are multiple videos that you can find on YouTube about the Colorado convention, and you can see the energy and the enthusiasm for Ted Cruz throughout the thousands of people. But for Donald Trump to besmirch the reputation of thousands and thousands and thousands of Colorado Republicans who took time away from work, who took time away from family to be a volunteer delegate to this process, and then to say that they're corrupt, it's simply unacceptable. Look, I'm not defending this process. What I'm defending is the fact that the Colorado Republicans followed the process that's been in place since President Taft. But I don't think that means that you turn around and you issue death threats to the chairman of the Colorado Republican Party. I don't think it turns around and you call the 65,000 people.
Were there death threats?
Absolutely, there have been death threats.
Absolutely, there's been death threats. The Trump supporters have been issuing death threats to anyone and everyone that they disagree with. To anyone and everyone that has done anything remotely against Mr. Trump. Who we have become as a country, as a collective people. That's what really... really disturbs me about all this. But of course, that comes from Cory Gardner, and we all know that.
Cory Gardner banned birth control. Cory Gardner banned birth control.
Sorry about that. All right. We all know Corey Gardner banned birth control, damn it. All right. We're just going to go to a quick break here. Actually, we've got some breaking news. Maybe I'll go into this drums rambling that's going on in my head. I have no idea. 760-539-3247. Just a quick little break. Not much. More Harms His Ways coming at you just after all of this.
It's a new day in America. Today, more people will go to work, return home to their families, and sleep more soundly than ever before. All because one man refuses to settle, putting people before politics. That man is Frank Underwood.
America, I'm only getting started. I'm Frank Underwood, and I approve this message.
I'm your GPS. Turn right up ahead. You never update me, so now I just have to wing it. I meant turn left up ahead.
Recalculating. Turn right now!
And your cut rate insurance may not pay for all this, so get Allstate. You can save money and be better protected from mayhem. Like me.
Recalculating.
Mayhem is everywhere, so get an Allstate agent. Are you in good hands?
Harms His Way with Ryan Harms.
All right, 760-539-3247 or this guy button at the top of the page. If you've got comments, questions, anything of concern about anything that I've been talking about tonight. So far, it's only been Trump. And no, I don't want to go into this rambling. Because I'm tired of it. I've done it time and again. If you really want to know my thoughts about Trump, everything else, the people that are voting for him, check out my YouTube channel. Just search Ryan's Drunk, one word, on YouTube. You'll find the channel. You'll find my political ramblings. Boom. All right, so let's see. As I said before the break there, kind of apropos, since I had to kind of leave the show with this, just because I wasn't prepared to do the show quite at the moment when it started. But I just found out, I don't know how long ago this news came out. I mean, it came out today. I don't know when it was announced or anything, but this is coming from comingsoon.net. Batman the Killing Joke has been rated R. Let's see. No. There's no byline or anything. Anyways, Batman the Killing Joke has been rated R. It sounds like Warner Brothers Animation and DC Entertainment's direct-to-video animated adaptation of Batman the Killing Joke is not joking around, according to Entertainment Weekly. The title has been officially rated R. From the start of production, we encouraged producer Bruce Timm and our team at Warner Brothers Animation to remain faithful to the original story, regardless of eventual MPAA ratings, said Sam Register, president of Warner Brothers Animation and Warner Digital Series. The Killing Joke is revered by the fans, particularly for its blunt, often shocking adult themes and situations. We felt it was our responsibility to present our core audience, the comics-loving community, with an animated film that authentically represented the tale they know all too well. So, that is good news! Yeah! That is good news! Neato, gang! Neato! Where is it? Damn it, where's the... yes! That is good news! Killing Joke is going to be rated R. awesome. Good times with weapons. Although, I'm sure there's not going to be, like, F-bombs dropped every 5 seconds. It probably won't even be that violent. It's just the same situation with Batman Arkham Knight, the game. I mean, it wasn't particularly violent. There weren't, like, cuss words every 5 seconds or anything. It was just dealing with themes, I suppose. I mean, Joker torturing Jason Todd and whatnot was apparently worth a mature rating. And that was basically it. I don't know. But yes, good news. Rated R, Killing Joke is coming for all of us. Awesome. Amazing stuff, things, words. So yeah, there's that. So let's see. For some other fun things, let's go with the Jimmy Kimmel. I believe maybe it was just last night. He did his whole man on the street interview type thing. It wasn't like a live witness news or anything. It wasn't particularly named anything. But he was just asking people on the street, or his producer, whoever it was on the street, asking people, Avengers, or can you, how many Avengers can you name, and how many presidents can you name? Some pretty awesome results. Take a listen, takers.
Name as many Avengers as you can.
Many Avengers. Captain America, Hawkeye, the Hulk, Iron Man, Black Widow.
Name as many U.S. presidents as you can.
Ooh, where you get them. Let's see. Obama, George Washington, wow.
Name as many Avengers as you can.
Oh, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, Iron Man. I think that's it. Is that it? Okay.
Name as many U.S. presidents as you can.
Grover Washington.
Avengers. Be like Chief Police Beck. Let's see. Batman. Robin.
Superman. Batman.
Avengers. I don't know. Aren't they just all different colors?
Blue, pink, green, yellow, orange.
Dragnet. Your Avengers. Hawaii 50.
Name as many U.S. presidents as you can.
Forget it. I don't vote. I don't vote, and I'm not political, and I'm not religious.
But do you know any U.S. presidents?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jackson, Perot.
When was Perot president?
I really don't remember. I don't know. It was something like that, maybe the 70s.
Abe Lincoln. Thomas Edison. Thomas Jefferson. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Donald Trump.
Name as many U.S. presidents as you can.
Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Maburin, Harrison, Tyler, Pope, and Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, and Buchanan. Lincoln, Johnson, Grant, and Hayes, Garfield, Arthur, Cleveland, Harrison, Cleveland, McKinley, Nixon, Taft. Well, George Washington. And, yeah, that's it so far.
Maybe that answers, or at least partly answers, why Mr. Trump is, scoring so high. Hell, people already think he's president. Oh, my God. This is just going on. Sorry, I'm getting political. Sorry. Getting caught up in my own thoughts, politically, and just
flame. Stop it. It's all lame. But no, that was a good bit, obviously. Even though the one dude that named like 8 Avengers, he just named the Avengers from Age of Ultron, kind of. I mean, there were some that he left out, but still. Captain America's Civil War is about to be a thing here pretty soon. And, I mean, I'll admit, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good time. I recently just heard a report that Spider-Man is pretty much going to be like the Wonder Woman of the movie. He's going to be in it for a lot more than originally thought. You know, it seemed like he would just be a cameo. But apparently there's like 30 minutes of Peter Parker alone, and then Spider-Man himself has like 20 minutes as well, or something along those lines. Maybe not quite as high. But yeah, that's interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. As it has been well documented on here and RyanJunk.com and everywhere else, things like such as with maps. Spider-Man is my number 2 favorite hero person thing. Pretty much always has been. Although I do think that I'm going to have to come out of the closet here pretty soon about one of my favorite superheroes. Pretty sure I'm going to have to do that here sometime soon. Stuff things words though for now. What am I even thinking? Civil War, that's what I'm on about. Civil War sounds like a good time. Should be good. Obviously, I've been discussing it for a while now. I don't know why I'm trying to make it a topic all of a sudden. It's Avengers and such. Mentioned there in the Jimmy Kimmel bit. No. I was about to do like this whole satirical. Hey, I wonder if Marvel's trying to jam too much into one movie. Thing, but no. But since I just went down that road, yes, Batman v Superman has problems. I never said that it didn't, but it's still a lot better than the critics gave it credit for. There's tons of problems with the movie. Discuss it here. Discuss it on RyanJunk.com. I discuss it a little bit on my YouTube channel. Search Ryan's Drunk, one word, on YouTube. Find that. But, yes, it has problems. It's just not as god-awful as the critics have made it. That's all. I'll shut up, Batman v Superman, but it has been made official by Warner Brothers, etc., etc., that Batfleck, the solo Batfleck movie, will officially be written and directed by Ben Affleck. Ben's already written the script, or somebody, co-written, I believe, is actually the direct credit, co-written the script, and it's already been turned in, and they're like, yeah, go. They've greenlit it. Doesn't mean that they're going to start production on it right away. Hell, I believe the earliest that it could come out is 2018. Great as Batman. It's been proven now. He's great as Batman. I cannot
look forward to this enough. This is, cannot look forward to this more, I guess is what you should say. I am absolutely stoked for this. The only thing that sets me back a little bit is that the rumors are going around that it's going to be a, like, under the red hood situation, which, please, no. I think I'm, like, the only voice saying this, but no, don't need another telling of Jason Todd coming back to life after Joker killed him, or anyone, maybe Dick Grayson, or maybe it's the other Robin that I don't really like, Tim Drake. Maybe it's Tim Drake that was killed by Joker. Who knows? Just please don't do that story, man. There's so many other great Batman stories to tell. We don't need this one already again. We just got, I mean, not just, a couple of years ago, we got the animated movie, Under the Red Hood. Then just last year, we got Arkham Knight, which is all Jason Todd eating Don't do it, man. Please, for the love of all that's holy, don't do a Jason Todd story. Now, the story that should be told is Hush. You don't have to use all of the villains that are used in the Hush story arc, but, I mean, you can reference at least a few of them. You could have the whole Harvey Dent might be fixed now type situation. You could do so much awesome things with the Hush story than you could just another retelling of Jason Todd coming back to life. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, we already know that in this DC universe, spoilers if you haven't seen Batman v Superman, kind of. I won't go into direct spoilers, but we already know that in this DC universe, death doesn't matter. Why do the Jason Toddy type story? Robin comes back to life and he's wearing a red hood now. Don't do it, man. The one cool thing that will definitely come out of this will have like Oracle and other Bat family members, like such as with Maps. It would just be awesome to have like Oracle and other Bat family members in this universe. It's because it's never been done before. I mean, one might be able to argue, no, you can't do Oracle without having Batgirl in movies first. Yay. No. Shut up. Obviously, Oracle's already Oracle. I am a bit disappointed that she wasn't mentioned in Batman v Superman, just because, man, that would have been a totally awesome thing. But again, this is why you need to do Hush. You need to do Hush. You have to have the Catwoman romance situation stuff in there. You have to do that. You have to embrace the Rogues Gallery. You don't have to have the full, you know, everything that happens with the Rogues Gallery in the story, but I mean, you could open the movie with Batman chasing down Killer Croc somehow, even though he's a part of Suicide Squad. Still, you should be able to do that. God, it would just be so awesome. A Hush type story over Jason Todd, because we've been there, we've done that as comic fans. That's the excuse, if you want to call it that. The excuse that Warner Brothers, Ben Affleck himself, have been giving about the criticism about Batman v Superman is that it's for the comic fans, and if it's for the comic fans, then why give us another story that's been done to death? Another retelling of a story that's been done to death. Stop it. Give us something different. Give us something fresh. A Hush story. So long as... This is the biggest problem I have with the Hush story arc, all right? They introduce the main villain, the identity of the main villain, by just acknowledging, you know, hey, did you know Bruce Wayne had a best friend named Tommy Elliott when he was growing up? Do you know that? So it's like, oh, I wonder who Hush is going to be. It can't be this Thomas Elliott character that I've never heard of before. Oh, wait, they killed him off. So, no, it can't be him at all. I don't know. I mean, they'd have to do it to some degree, but... Still things worse, man. Solo Batfleck, awesome. Ben Affleck directing Batman, awesome. We're in for a good time, as far as those movies are concerned. Just so long as it's not Jason Todd-y bullshit, we're going to be in for a good time. Stuff things, words, awesomeness, bad fleck. And of course, as we all know,
Corey Gardner banned birth control.
I'm so glad I got that soundbite again. Everything's going to shit because
Corey Gardner banned birth control.
Oh my god, so good. Why is it so good? It's because
Corey Gardner banned birth control.
Oh my goodness. Just in case you're wondering what this whole Corey Gardner banned birth control thing. This was like a radio ad produced by NARAL, apparently. It was all about, let's give abortions to everybody. This was a radio ad that was done, I guess, here in Colorado. I mean, I never heard it or anything. I just heard it when it became like a national topic because of how ridiculous it is because, you know.
Corey Gardner banned birth control.
But, yeah, anyways, just in case you don't know where that's from, just for the sake of hilarity, let's listen to this whole ad, just because the whole ad is totally stupid in and of itself as well. So take a listen to it.
They're all out.
Did you try the corner market?
Of course.
Grocery store?
Sold out.
Drug store?
Come on.
So everyone's sold out of condoms. How did this happen?
Corey Gardner banned birth control. And now, it's all on us guys. And you can't find a condom anywhere. And the pill was just the start. The Pell Grants my little brother was counting on for college? Corey cut them. Climate change, that everyone knows, is weirding our weather. Corey flat out denies it. Sweet Pea, Corey denies science.
Come on.
This guy has no idea what's going on in the real world.
Oh my God. Oh, man, we are so doomed. 760-539-3247. The Suicide Squad trailer, my thoughts, stuff, things, words, coming up just after all this. 760-539-3247. with the Skype button at the top of the page. More Harm's His Way is coming just after all this.
From Amazon, number 1,772,434th best-selling author, comes his long-awaited, unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Last night you had the enchilada combo platter. This morning, the three cheese omelet with broccoli. This afternoon, you're a ticking time bomb. Because of you, a simple elevator ride is suddenly a 42-floor plummet into the very bowels of hell.
You take my breath away.
Who did it? Who cares? Sweet mercy, please just someone light a match.
Sweet, sweet mercy.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh ninja of the nasty. And while you're at it, crack open a window.
Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Get The Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. Available exclusively on Kindle. For only $2.99. Wait, only $2.99?
You're goddamn right.
That's The Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. On Kindle. Buy it today.
Is this the real life?
Let me out of you, Donald, please.
Let me out of you, brother!
Is this just fantasy?
Come on!
Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
I want to assemble a task force of the most dangerous people on the planet.
They're bad guys. Worst of the worst.
Too late.
Open the gate!
My time has come. And sugar's down my spine.
Was this a cheerleading trial?
Deadshot guy shoots people. He's a crocodile and he eats people. Burns people. You're possessed by a witch. And she's just crazy.
What was that? I should kill everyone and escape? Sorry. The voices. I'm kidding. That's not what they really said.
This is the deal. You're going somewhere very bad.
Whoa.
Do something that'll get you killed.
We'll save the world.
I can't wait to show you my toys.
Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Let's do something fun.
Seriously, what the hell's wrong with you people?
We're bad guys. It's what we do.
Nothing really matters.
Time to get rid of the Republicans. The time has come. You know, they are done. They are done. It is time for a third party to rise up.
They're putting their hashtag on going on there and showing how we're making a change on social justice and all this. Look, this has got to stop. And it seems so phony to me.
So obviously that has nothing to do with Islam, right, Jimmy?
No, not at all.
Not at all, obviously.
Not at all, dude. It doesn't make any sense to me how that's tied together.
It has nothing to do with the people, Islamic people, at all. Whew, that was a close one. That was cool. I was almost on the bandwagon of just saying, hey, I hate or love them. But nope, it has nothing to do with it. We need justice for Bat Fleck. We need to get to the bottom of who decided to cast Ben Affleck as Batman. We need congressional hearings, I think, because this is a crime against humanity. It's kind of sort of refreshing to actually have some racism involved here. It's kind of refreshing, you know?
Stuffing words.
Damn, dog, it's on. God, I hate him. Oh, man.
You are listening to Harms' Way with Ryan Harms.
All right, yes, 760-539-3247 or the Skype button at the top of the page. If you're out there listening and, you know, you got thoughts, comments, concerns, or anything about anything, let's talk, right? Let's have a heart-to-heart conversation. Human heartbeat to human heartbeat, chest to chest, let's let it all out. This time I'm let it all come out. This time I'm let it all go now. That way. Anyway. it's my way or the hard way, because this is Harms' Way. And as such, right now, my way is telling me that I want to talk about the Suicide Squad trailer, the new one. I mean, you know, during that break there, you heard the first official Suicide Squad trailer. Well, I guess it's the second trailer, but first official trailer. So this new one is the second official, but third trailer. Whatever. Awesomeness stuff things. I guess it's time to take a listen to the new trailer, listen takers. But of course, it makes a far better watch than a listen. So watch it on YouTube already, you morons. Jesus. Watch it, because it's awesome. Stuff and things and words. But for now, take a listen, listen takers. Well, almost. Yeah, here we go.
Gentlemen, ladies, what if Superman had decided to fly down, rip off the roof of the White House, grab the president right out of the Oval Office? Who would have stopped him?
I want to build a team of some very bad people who I think can do some good.
Y'all jokers must be crazy. I'm not just one of y'all many
toys. What? Tell
me what to do. This is the deal. You disobey me, you die. Try to escape, you die.
You got a boyfriend?
You irritator vex me.
I'm known to be quite vexing. I'm just forewarning you.
You die.
If they get caught, we throw them under the bus.
What a ride!
This place!
Come on, got some better things?
I love this guy.
Not good.
Don't forget, we're the bad guys.
Are you sweet talking me? All of that chit chat's gonna get you hurt.
The man in the back is ready to crack as he raises his hand to the sky. And the girl in the corner is everyone's fun. She can kill you with a wink of her eye.
You want to see something?
I was just trying to get you there. You know how it feels, right? We good.
What you having?
Beer.
Whiskey.
What am I, 12?
How about you, hot stuff?
Water.
That's a good idea, honey.
Good times with weapons, indeed. Indeed, indeed. It looks absolutely fantastic. This is going to be on par with Guardians of the Galaxy, I'd say, as far as, like, the hit that it will be. Hell, it could make more money than Batman v Superman. There's the potential for that to happen. Especially if you get down into the nitty-gritty of the actual profit of Batman v Superman, which is only right now like at $100 million, if that. The actual profit, when you take into consideration the production costs, marketing, etc., all of the money spent on Batman v Superman, I think as of right now, it's only made $100 million. Something along those lines. This probably will be the sleeper hit of the summer, especially since it's going to be at the end of the summer. And awesomeness like that. The movie looks fantastic, man. I can't be happier with Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. The very first trailer, the one, the Comic-Con thing, I was kind of on the fence about it, but since then, you know, the second trailer and now this one, she looks absolutely fantastic. She's going to nail the role perfectly. Well, damn near perfectly, anyways. I shouldn't say perfectly. Just because, I mean, it's pretty rare for anyone to nail a role perfectly. But, yeah, stuff things words. There's, Will Smith is still doing his thing, which is whatever. Unless they do the whole Deadshot and Harley romance thing, he's not going to matter much. But then there's Jared Leto's Joker. And I've been saying this with each and every single trailer. I absolutely hate that as far as vocals are concerned, he is doing a Heath Ledger impression. When he speaks as Joker, he's doing a Heath Ledger impression. I hate it. Absolutely 100% hate. At the time of the at first Comic-Con trailer, I thought it was good news that they got rid of the damage tattoo on Joker's forehead, because I absolutely hate that. The other tattoos, fine, whatever. You want to do all like self-important tattoo things on Joker, fine, that's okay, good for you. But the Joker, the character, the Joker. There is no known universe, not even on Earth 2 or Earth 47, would the Joker ever tattoo the word damaged on his forehead. There is no universe or Earth in the DC Comics sense of the word, in which the Joker looks at himself in the mirror and says, I am a damaged person. The Joker never, ever fucking does that. ever. That's not going to happen. But apparently that's the Joker that currently resides in the DCEU, or DCCCU. And on top of it, Leto's just doing a Heath Ledger impression, which is dumb. It's totally stupid. But either way, the movie looks fantastic. I'm obviously going to see it, you know, as soon as I can. You know, opening day, or Thursday, I guess, since that's now the thing to do. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Obviously. Other thoughts? No, no other thoughts. Just stuff things worse, man. Been a good show this week. Well, good-ish. Awesomeness, stuff, things, words. We'll see you next week, everybody. Well, we won't see each other, obviously. I could just say words to you through your ear holes and stuff and awesomeness. We won't actually be seeing each other unless you check out my YouTube channel. Of course, the easiest way to go to find it is to search Ryan's Drunk, one word on YouTube. It's like the second result that you get. So, I mean, hey, if you want to see me there, subscribe and stuff. Awesomeness. Yeah, that's about it, though. 760-539-3247. Use that number next week. We'll see you next week, everybody. Take care, and, of course, stay out of harm's way.
From Amazon, number 1,772,434th best-selling author, comes his long-awaited, unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!
Gentlemen, ladies, what if Superman had decided to fly down, rip off the roof of the White House, grab the president right out of the Oval Office? Who would have stopped him?
I want to build a team of some very bad people who I think can do some good.
Y'all jokers must be crazy.
What?
This is the deal. You disobey me, you die. Try to escape, you die.
You got a boyfriend?
You irritator vexed me.
I'm known to be quite vexing. I'm just forewarning you.
You die.
If they get caught, we throw them under the bus.
What a ride!
This place!
Come on, get some better assist.
Light it up!
I love this guy.
Not good.
Don't forget, we're the bad guys.
Are you sweet-talking me? All of that chit-chat's gonna get you hurt.
The back is ready to crack as he raises the sky. And the girl in the corner is everyone's fun. She can give you with a wink of her eye.
Do you want to see something?
I was just trying to get you there. You know how it feels, right? We good.
What you having?
Beer.
Whiskey.
What am I, 12?
How about you, hot stuff?
Water.
That's a good idea, honey.
Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. Available exclusively on Kindle. For only $2.99. Wait, only $2.99?
You're goddamn right.
That's The Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. On Kindle. Buy it today.